The Sunnah and the commands of Allah. The Sunnah and the commands of Allah. Here it is, Madani Muzakara. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Tonight is the 16th night of Zulhijjah al-Haram, 1445 Hijri. With this relevance, saying of the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam number 16 is presented from Maktabatul Madinah's booklet Blessings of Salat and Salam. Whoever recited Salat upon me 10 times during the day and 10 times during the night will receive my intercession on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Dear children, after the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest rank is
of Allah's Khalil, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam.
All the prophets, my name is Salam, who came after him were from his lineage.
This is why he alayhi salam is called Abul Anbiya, meaning father of prophets.
His blessed name appears 69 times in the Holy Quran.
The blessed appearance of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam resembled with the appearance of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The element of hospitality is greatly found in his seerah.
And the kunya of Ibrahim alayhi salam is Abu Daifan, meaning someone who is extremely hospitable.
Dear children, the elder son of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam is Prophet Ismail alayhi salam.
And his name appears 12 times in the glorious Quran.
It was for the sake of Prophet Ismail alayhi salam that a great miracle like Abu Zamzam manifested.
It was him who submissively agreed to get slaughtered without hesitation on the command of Allah Almighty.
Which is why he alayhi salam is called Zabiullah.
Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam with Prophet Ismail alayhi salam built the Holy Kaaba.
And it was from their blessed lineage that the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was born.
Dear Amir of Al-Sunnah, please guide us in this relation that
among the children of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam,
why do we find more mention of Prophet Ismail alayhi salam?
MashaAllah, it was a beautiful display from children, how they explained everything and they mentioned many things. Whenever any astonishing event gets manifested by someone, then it is also mentioned more. Just like there are other Sahaba as well besides Imam Ali Maqam, Imam Hussain radiallahu anh, but his remarkable feat that he achieved in the plains of Karbala, that it became an example till the Day of Judgment and is engraved in the hearts of people. So this way his mention was increased. Now remember that if someone's mention is done more than others, it does not necessarily imply that they are higher in rank than everyone else as well. When we talk about ranks, then the honorable prophets alayhim as-salam are superior to the sahaba alayhim ridwan. There are so many prophets alayhim as-salam that none of us would be familiar of their names. The names of only a few prophets alayhimus salam appear in the Holy Quran or in the blessed ahadith. The names of the majority of the prophets alayhimus salam are not explicitly mentioned in the Holy Quran or the blessed ahadith, but the superiority of prophets is greater than the sahaba, like the mention of Prophet Ismail alayhi salam is greatly found in narrations. But he is not superior than all the prophets. The most superior of all prophets is the Holy Prophet, even though his mention is not any less. Just giving it as an example, like the superiority of Prophet Musa alayhi salam is more than Ismail alayhi salam. Prophet Isa alayhi salam is higher in superiority. There are five prophets who are known as Ulul Azm prophets. their virtues and superiority are more than Prophet Ismail alayhi salam. But the phenomenal feat of Prophet Ismail alayhi salam is a remarkable one. One was that the well of Zamzam emerged with the blessings and virtues of his blessed heels. This is one reason for the prominence of his name and his mention. And then when the time of sacrifice came, he presented himself, saying that slaughter me in the way of Allah. This is not something easy. Such a big sacrifice. Then in place of him, Allah Almighty sent through Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam a heavenly sheep, a sheep that was from paradise. That sheep was then slaughtered, and the sacrifice that now happens every year is his remembrance, and so is his mention. So the mention of Ismail alayhi salam is greatly performed, especially in these days. And so is the mention of Ibrahim alayhi salam. His mention is also performed greatly, as in he is his father. And when the season of Hajj arrives, it is also very closely related to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, as he alayhi salam also laid the foundations of the Kaaba once. Others also laid his foundations, like Prophet Adam alayhi salam also laid his foundations of the Kaaba. So there's special mention of Ibrahim alayhi salam as well, as both father and son, meaning Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam, constructed the Kaaba together. Then Hajj is related to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam because he made the announcement for the Hajj. And those who were in the loins of their fathers or in the wombs of their mothers, they all heard, and whoever responded with Labbaik will perform Hajj. The number of times one said Labbaik, that's how many times they will perform Hajj. And this is also mentioned in the Quran regarding the announcement that he alayhi salam made to people. It's mentioned in Surah Hajj, verse number 27. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِن كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيقٍ. Translation from Kanzul Irfan. And announce the Hajj among the people. They shall come to you by foot and mounted upon every lean camel, coming from every distant route. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. And announce the Hajj among the people. After the construction of the blessed Kaaba, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was commanded by Allah to invite people to visit his house. Thus, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam mounted upon Mount Abu Qubais and announced to the people of the whole world. So this announcement was made to everyone. Those who existed, those who weren't born yet, those in mother's wombs, those in the loins of their fathers. The announcement was made to the people of the whole world that perform the Hajj of Baytullah, and those in whose destiny it was written to perform Hajj, they responded from the loins of their fathers and the wombs of their mothers. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Meaning, I'm present. Dear Allah, I'm present. Sayyiduna Hassan radiallahu anhu narrates that in the expression Adhin, the address is to the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Thus, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this announcement in the farewell Hajj and said that, O people, Allah made Hajj fard upon you, so perform Hajj. This also resolves many of our issues. Like, there's nothing wrong in calling out to those who are far from you. In fact, even they were called who weren't even born yet. Everyone was called. And the reply of Labbaik is mentioned in the hadith, that the number of times one said Labbaik, that's how many times they will perform Hajj. So whoever Allah Almighty grants this honor. Likewise, if anyone calls upon a wali or a prophet after their passing, there's nothing wrong whatsoever in this. Calling out to those who are far from you is proven from the Quran. In today's day and age, even science has resolved these issues. Someone may be in America and you're calling out to him on the phone. You're talking to him, like, can you hear me? How far he is? Nonetheless, there's no harm whatsoever in calling out to those who are near and far away. The satanic whispers in this regard should be treated. And cure for this is available in Quran and Hadith, and even science today approves these whispers. Some people understand science more. No problem, science also resolves it. So anyhow, the mention of Ismail alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salam is greatly performed. And the sacrifice performed on Eid al-Adha is known as Sunnat Ibrahimi. Fortunate are those who do it wholeheartedly. Some do so as a burden and with stinginess. This shouldn't be one's approach in the way of Allah. This is also a mercy of Allah that we sacrifice an animal, not our son. This is still easy upon our nafs. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question in the court of the Amir of Al-Sunnah is that if someone gets punished for their wrongdoings in this world, then will their punishment be forgiven in the hereafter?
Well, this scenario can have different outcomes, like there could be some people who get punished in both this world and the hereafter, and some could get punishment only in this world, and some could get punishment only in the hereafter. But we can't decide for sure regarding any individual that he has had his punishment in this world. And also, we can't decide regarding someone facing calamities in this world that this is punishment for their sins. The situation of qisas is different, meaning retaliation in kind, a life in exchange of a life. If the ruler has sentenced him with punishment, where retaliation in kind has been exercised, this is a form of punishment in this world. Even in this now, how can we decide regarding the matter of hereafter?
The hudud, meaning the shari'i punishments that are stipulated upon committing certain sins, such as upon drinking alcohol, upon stealing, upon committing fornication, slandering someone with the allegations of fornication regarding shari'i punishments for these. The authentic opinion of the Imam of Ahl-Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Reza Khan rahimahullah, is that there will be expiation for the hereafter as well, as in, after going through the shari'i punishment of the committed sin, it will also be forgiven for the hereafter. Now in this, a person should anyways fear, وَمِنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ثَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. As we don't know which sin one gets seized for in the hereafter, regardless of whether he fears anything for it in the world or not. As for the mercy of Allah Almighty, we find various ahadith of the Prophet, that if someone faces punishment in this world, Allah is merciful, He will not punish the person again in the hereafter. And if Allah has concealed his sin in the world, then He is Sattar. He will also conceal the person's sins in the hereafter. But this is just an element of hope. Otherwise, a person should always remain fearful. Repentance for him is necessary.
Keep a positive opinion of Allah Almighty, as Allah states in a hadith Qudsi, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظُنِّ عَبْدِي بِي, meaning I'm close to how my servant assumes of me. So we should have a good opinion in relation to Allah. Some people are contrary to it, saying that my sins are abundant, Allah will not forgive me. I will definitely and most certainly be punished. This is very dangerous and there is a risk of being punished in this. Keep in view the mercy of Allah, that although I am a grave sinner, but I am not despair of His mercy. If He wishes, He may forgive my sins, He is the most forgiving, the most merciful.
Under the light of the discussion that is being carried out, the thing is that it is very audacious in sensitive times. People do not think before they speak. Now, for example, there's discussion of hell going on between two friends and they also joke with each other like, what'll happen to us? We both will meet in hell as well, Allah forbid. If someone has this approach and attitude when talking about hell, what would you say in relation to this?
Like they're two friends who say to each other, while joking in the normal conversation, that you will go to hell and so will I, as this is how our actions are. We'll both meet in hell.
There are other phrases like this as well.
Yes, they are, and some are very dangerous, especially of the comedians, which then become common among people as well.
What comedians say then becomes common in public as well.
Like you will come to us to light a cigarette in hell.
When the comedian says something like this, it is generally scripted. So number one, the writer of such script. Number two, the one who follows the script and says those words. Number three, the one who listens to these phrases and then adopts them in their general life and mode of conversation, what would be the ruling regarding them? Because there's not only one phrase as such, there are plenty of phrases that are common upon which you can provide us with guidance, because this situation has intensified dramatically nowadays, especially because of social media usage. So I would like you to provide guidance to the Ummah on this as well. Whereas the Amir of Ahl-Sunnah has addressed this topic in his book, Kufriya Kalimat Ke Bare Mein Sawal Jawab, as well. But then rulings differ depending on different circumstances and scenarios.
As for the statement of two friends that we both will meet in hell, a question regarding similar kind of statement is found in Kufriya Kalimat Ke Bare Mein Sawal Jawab, page number 499. Question: it's good that we will go to hell, as film actors will also be there. How is it to say this? Answer: it's disbelief. In this filthy, disparaging and impure statement, considering divine punishment as lowly and inferior is found. If a person claims that I said it as a joke even then, it is disbelief. صدر الشريعة بدر الطريقة علامة مولانا مفتي محمد أمجد علي أعظمي عليه رحمة الله القوي says, if someone commits disbelief in a joke and as a jest, even he will become apostate, meaning he is excluded from Islam, even if he claims that he does not carry such belief.
After listening to the Sharia ruling, if someone says, what is wrong with you, Maulana? People, we're just joking, we're talking. Just as a joke, what's wrong with you? You become serious on everything. Should we not joke either? How would you explain such people?
Well, when it comes to religious rulings, there's no joke in them. It is stated in the Holy Quran, قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِمَانِكُمْ. Meaning, dear beloved Prophet, say, do you mock Allah and His verses and His Messenger? And the next verse was, لا تعتذروا, do not make excuses. قد كفرتم, you have resorted to disbelief. بعد إيمانكم, after showing faith, right after embracing faith. So this is the Quran, not any worldly novel, upon whose words a person may laugh. Ma'adallah. So people utter all sorts of things in joking and mocking. And if you advise them, then they laugh on Maulanas, saying things like, Maulanas make you fear for no reason. They have no sense of humor. As for the comedians who utter these sorts of phrases, they also comfort themselves by saying that we remove the sorrows and worries of people. We distribute happiness among them. Well, what you are spreading is not happiness. Where you lie and tell them untrue and false jokes, or Allah forbid, by making fun of Allah and His Messenger, or of paradise and hell. Ma'adallah, thumma ma'adallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question in the court of the Amir of Ahl-Sunnah is that would the salah of women be valid in a thin headscarf?
If it is such that the hair of the women are visible, like there's a thin headscarf through which the hair of the women are visible, the color of the hair becomes visible to the onlooker, then salah will not be valid. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
We are receiving questions on social media. Brother Zafar Ahmed is asking a question that how can we get rid of useless and unnecessary thoughts? Please provide an easy solution.
Do what you are meant to do, otherwise you'll fall into what you're not meant to do. Replace useless thoughts with good thoughts. When you will develop good thoughts, you will then get rid of the useless ones. Insha'Allah. The thoughts of visiting here and there, the thoughts of visiting different places in the world, convert these thoughts to visiting Medina. That may we roam around in the streets of Medina, in the streets of our master. This will change your thoughts. If worldly thoughts are bothering you, then replace them with the concerns of the hereafter. You want a big house, as because of your small house you are currently struggling. Then think about the narrowness of the grave, that what will happen there. As in, our grave does not expand for us and remains very narrow for us. If Allah becomes displeased with us due to our sins, then what will happen? The house in this world is still a blessing. So change your thought process. And your thoughts should be such which make you successful in the hereafter, which make you earn reward, which become a means of piety, which become a means of our reform. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Brother Nawaz is asking, a question that we read Wazaif litanies but don't see the effect straight away. Please tell us a solution so that we see a result quickly.
In order to shoot a bullet, the strength of the weapon is required. There is an instant effect in the dam of the chosen servants of Allah. We find such accounts of noble elders. They would turn pebbles into gold through them. There is an account of Mawla Ali, Karramallahu wajhahu al-Kareem, that there were some non-Muslims and someone came to them asking them for his needs. And out of joke, they sent him to Mawla Ali saying that he is Sayyidina Ali. He gives a lot, he is very generous, ask him, he will give you. So the beggar went to him. He extended his hand before him. Mawla Ali, Karramallahu wajhahu al-Kareem, read something and blew on his hand, so he performed dumb on him and said that, go, and open your fist in front of the non-believers. He had blown on an empty fist, and the non-Muslims were laughing that what will happen just by blowing on it. Anyhow, when the beggar came in front of them, and he opened his fist in front of them, then there were gold coins in his hand. Seeing this saintly miracle of Mawla Ali Karramallahu Wajhahul Kareem, perhaps many non-Muslims became Muslim. So to have this effect in dhamm, you need the dhamm of Mawla Ali. As for us, on every matter, ma'adallah, we end up lying, we end up swearing, we hurt the sentiments of others, we indulge in obscene discussions. Now for us to read something and then blow is different. And Mawla Ali, in whose every breath is the remembrance of Allah in his every word, is the dhikr of Allah an invitation towards good, and every statement of his is filled with the love of Allah and his messenger, then the dhamm that he would perform would be far more different than the dhamm of people like me and you. So if we say that all our wazifa should also be as effective, whatever we say, it happens. We blow the jinn like this and we capture the jinn. We then blow and prison it in a bottle. Then we blow and seal the bottle. These things are not as easy. If the jinn does something, you will face severe consequences. There's not much effect in our dhamm. May Allah shower mercy upon everyone. We should recite wazaif and litanies for the sake of Allah, but only after seeking permission from the authorizing person, and only after due consideration. I've seen many people who fall into different wazaif and litanies. They at times lose their mind completely. They cannot bear its luster. They then face many problems. Back in the days, there was a time when I faced such kinds of issues and problems, where sometimes what would happen is that a family together would bring a young man saying that he became your disciple. Look what happened to him. He has lost his mind because of the wazifa you told him. And I would reply to them that look at my shajara which I give out. What's wrong in these litanies? There's nothing like it in them. He must have taken something from someone else and then read it, or he would have taken something from another book himself, and this would be the case normally. As for me, I do not give such kinds of litanies and wazifas at all. I cannot remember if I ever gave such wazifas to anyone where the wazifas would be of such sort and their families come after me because of it. Never. I've always been careful in this regard. I've seen the outcomes of people. So such wazifas are performed by staying in the company of the relevant person. Now the company of the person that is adopted should also be an accomplished one, and this recognition is hardly found. Therefore, perform the recitation of the Holy Quran, recite Surah Yasin. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
The sunnah and the commands of Allah. The sunnah and the commands of Allah. Here it is, Madani Muzakirah.